the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
For Sports Talk with Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. We look forward to bringing you comments from Tennessee football coach Jeremy Pruitt, as well as Vince Ferrara, and part of his conversation with Jarrett Garantano's quarterbacks coach, Tony Rasiopi. So we have all that and more leading up to 7 o'clock, which will be the Producing the Facts podcast, which you've grown accustomed to. The following Sports Talk on Mondays, Eric Kane will get you from 7 until 8. And then tonight, we'll play the final of our great games in NCAA tournament history that started back on Thursday, March 19th. We've gone through what would have been each round as it would have played out all the way up into a doubleheader that would have been the Final Four this past Saturday, and tonight the championship game. So at 8 o'clock, it'll be Virginia and Texas Tech from last year's tournament championship tilt. So right now, it's your chance to win and receive a golden attaboy and an audio reward as we've got our trivia challenge. Jimmy, what is the sports fix at 6?
John, I think this is a tough one. We'll see how our callers do, but I think this is very challenging. So, as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned, Tennessee has lost to a team that made the NCAA tournament Final Four, made the finals, and finished as a runner-up. Name those two teams. Tennessee has been eliminated by two teams in the NCAA tournament that lost in the national championship game. Name those two NCAA runner-up opponents.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
This is difficult. I know we lost with Jerry Green to North Carolina, who made the Final Four. I don't remember if they made the final, but I'll say that North Carolina team. And didn't that Syracuse team that beat Ernie and Bernie make the final? I'll say Syracuse and North Carolina.
That's not correct. That's a good guess. I'll say this. Your guess of Syracuse, which goes back a ways, there is a team that goes back a ways that fits into this category. That North Carolina team did not make it to the national championship game, I don't believe. But that answer is not correct. Two really good guesses, but not accurate.
Jeff, we sure do appreciate it. This is really a tough one to go first on, but stay well and be safe. Thank you for calling. Let's go next to Tom. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys, I think I might have one and no idea on the other. Is one of them UConn, the Khalid El-Amin team, maybe? And then, oh, goodness. who do we lose to way back, huh? No idea, really. I'll just say UCLA for out of percentage chance, maybe.
Well, that's a percentage guess. It's not a correct one, but that's a pretty good percentage guess. Tennessee actually has not played UCLA in an NCAA tournament game.
Interesting.
But anyway, hey, Tom, good try, good guesses, but not correct.
Tom, we sure do appreciate it. Let's go next to John. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm going to go with the Ralph Sampson Virginia team in Michigan.
Neither one. That Ralph Sampson team was pretty darn good. You got to go back even further to find the first opponent Tennessee played that was an NCAA national champion runner-up. And let's see, Michigan, yeah, that was in 2011 when they lost, and in 2014. But it is not Michigan, but it's not too far away from that time frame to find the other opponent that we're looking for.
John, we sure do appreciate it. Have a great night. Let's go next to Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hello. I was going to go Virginia, so that's out. Let's go Michigan State and Wichita State.
Yeah, Michigan State, that's a good guess. Tennessee did play them in 2010 and lost. It is not Michigan State. You got to go back a little bit further to find the second opponent that fits this equation. And what was your other guess?
Michigan State and
Wichita State.
And Wichita State.
Yeah, not Wichita State. They lost to Wichita State in 2006. That comes within 1 year of one of the teams that Tennessee did end up losing to that finished second. But it's not Wichita State.
Steve, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Repeat the question, if you would.
Yes, Tennessee has lost to two teams in the NCAA tournament that advanced to the national championship game and lost. These two teams were the runner-up for the NCAA national championship. Name those two teams. One occurred many, many years ago, and one was a bit more recent.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. cellular customers. Let's go to Gary. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Gary.
How about LSU and Villanova?
Neither one. And, in fact, they have not played LSU or Villanova in the NCAA tournament. But thank you.
Repeat the question, if you would. Again,
yes. Tennessee has lost to two teams in the NCAA tournament that advanced to the national championship game and lost. Name those two teams. Should I give a hint?
Sure.
One of them goes back to the Ray Mears days, and one of them was under Bruce Pearl.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Who is our next guesser, Sam? Let's go to John. Hello, John.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'd like to guess Dayton and Ohio State.
Well, there you go. Yes,
wow.
Sir. You said that with conviction, with confidence, with certainty. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Dayton back in 1967 beat Tennessee 53-52, and Dayton played for the national championship that year. And then in 2007, Ohio State rallied to beat Tennessee 85-84 in San Antonio. That was under Bruce Pearl. So the two teams that Tennessee lost to that ended up being a national championship runner-up, Dayton, 1967, Ohio State, 2007. John, you knew that, or did you look it up?
Well, no, I didn't. I'm out riding my bicycle, and my wife will never, ever, ever believe me.
Wow.
Just a guess. Yeah.
Well, that was a fantastic guess.
The Ernie and Bernie plug was a hint to me because I was around then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well,
thank you,
John. You are the winner of today's Golden Attaboy, and then if you will hang on the line for your audio reward. Again, we look forward to the point in time when we can reattach prizes to the Sports Fix at 6. But right now, we want to keep the trivia challenge out there. John, up to the challenge tonight. So here is your audio reward.
I am the smartest man alive.
I'm a winner.
Chairman of the Welcoming Committee, it is my privilege to extend a laurel and hearty handshake.
Yes! Yes! That's how winning is done.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Yahoo!
And they stay there.
Outstanding work, John. We appreciate every caller that took a shot at it tonight, and we'll be back at it tomorrow evening with another Sports Fix at 6 Trivia Challenge. When we return, comments from Tennessee football coach Jeremy Pruitt. That's next as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and it was last Friday that Jeremy Pruitt joined the ranks, Jimmy, of those football coaches that have held a press conference through Zoom.
Yes, he did, and it was interesting. He talked about a variety of topics. He touched on recruiting. He touched on his personal life, what he's doing. He touched on a variety of things involving football and just the situation that we are in. Here are comments from Tennessee's head coach, Jeremy Pruitt.
I know y'all as coaches, you know, you plan for everything you can during, you know, things that could happen in a game, things that could happen in a season. With something like this, is this something you ever could have imagined? And how as a coach do you go about kind of thinking about, well, if it comes back in a month, we'll do this. If it comes back in 2 months, we'll do that. How do you go about, you know, thinking about stuff like that?
Well, the I think from my experience, and I really can go back to when I was a high school coach. There's different circumstances for every student athlete. It's hard to predict what's going to happen, especially with this virus. But going back and drawing on my experiences from high school, you know, you get creative, you find a way, whatever the outcome is, whenever we do start back, it's going to be the same for everybody. I think it's something that you got to think a little bit outside the box and figure out a way to be efficient with your time. And understand that you've got to have a really good teaching progression when it comes to your players. Every team's going to be different. Every player is going to be different. Some are going to have lots of experience, and some are going to have absolutely none. But you got to find a way to figure out who the guys are that can help you have success. And that's something that, you know, we talk about every single day as a staff, whether it comes in strength and conditioning, whenever that starts back, recruiting, installs, offense, defense, special teams. So it's something that, you know, we don't know when it's going to start back, but it's something that we've got to be ready for whenever it does happen. So we're working on it every single day.
Coach, our next question will go to Jesse. Jesse, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Appreciate it, Bill. Jeremy, Nick suggested, Nick Saban came out, I guess, yesterday or today and kind of tossed out a hypothetical of perhaps folks will need 14 or teams will need 14 practices, non-contact, just to kind of focus on the install and fundamentals before training camp. From a player safety perspective, just obviously, I know we're talking in a lot of hypotheticals here, but what do you think, how much time do you think guys will need to get ready before teams could actively go into a true training camp?
Well, you can look over the over the years. It's obviously changed. My freshman year I was in college, we didn't report until August the 1st. The following years is, and that's the way it was for a very long time. You reported August 1st, you had 2 or 3 weeks of two-a-days, and then you played, you know, the first Saturday of September. And then over the years, it changed to where guys started reporting during the summer, and you had summer conditioning and things, we've been doing this a long time. And I'm sure everybody's going to lean first off on, you know, our athletic trainers, our strength and conditioning folks, to figure out the right timeline. I believe in, the people that make these decisions, and, whatever everybody comes to a decision, what they finalize and say, this is what we're going to do. I think it's going to be important, for each staff to have a really good feel, cause every kid's not going to be the same. Everyone's conditioning is not going to be the same. So you've got to use good judgment, and just common sense to me as you continue to grow and develop your team whenever this time comes.
All right, Coach, let's go to Eric King with the Sports Animal.
Hey, Jeremy, with the restrictions put on recruiting right now, no in-person on or off campus recruiting, how have you and your coaches kind of adapted to that, or maybe changed the way you approach it, or have changed with those restrictions?
Well, there's, you know, when it comes to social media, it gives you a really good opportunity to communicate with this class. Where there's really restrictions is on the next class, because you can't contact them with social media right now or text. So it's tough to get those guys on the phone. It's actually pretty easy to get this next class. So it's what you have to do, and you have to kind of take the University of Tennessee to them. You know, there's obviously, when it comes to recruiting, there's lots of guys that have been on our campus, and then there's some that have not. So we've got to do a really good job of being able for them to get a good feel to what it's like on game day at Tennessee, what it's like in a classroom, who's the people that's going to be able to kind of help them grow and develop on and off the field throughout their 4 years at Tennessee.
Coach, let's go. We'll go to David Ubbin.
Yeah, hey, Jeremy, what's if you can walk us through, first of all, what does kind of a day look like for you and your staff right now? And you mentioned the training camp. You know how many days you would think you need to have before the season started?
Well, just for us, we have a staff meeting every day at 8 o'clock. And it's just to get the day started. We go back over recruiting calls and our players, any issues from the day before when it comes to school. So we know exactly what they're supposed to get done every day academically, and we follow up and make sure that there's not any issues, because we got guys all over the country, and especially as people start working from home, sometimes there's only one computer in a household. So being able to access that and being able to get what they need to get done. Maybe some guys live in places to, their internet service is not as good. So, just making sure that we're on top of it. We're proactive, not reactive, in the academic piece. Also the part about rehab, you know, there's several guys that, you know, were not participating in spring ball for whatever reason and where they're at. And, some of the guys are still in Knoxville, and they're able to do that, but some of them have to do it, you know, whether it's FaceTime or you know, whatever the circumstance is. Some cities are locked down now and they don't have the resources maybe to go get some rehab, but that's something that we've really been working hard to make sure that our guys are going to be well when they come back, whenever that is.
So some of the comments that Jeremy Pruitt made last week as he met the media on Friday via Zoom and the press conference. And so we look forward to bringing you even more comments from Coach Pruitt as there were more questions before the end of his session. What we'll do is get a break. When Sports Talk continues, you'll hear part of the conversation between our own Vince Ferrara and Jarrett Garantano's quarterbacks coach, Tony Rasiopi. That's next as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
All sports, all the time. It's not a lifestyle we chose. We were born this way. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. And Vince Ferrara was able to catch up with Tony Rasiopi, who has worked with Jarrett Garantano for some time, as he works with him in the offseason some. And so here is what Tony Rasiopi had to say as Vince was able to get some questions to him about Tennessee's redshirt senior quarterback. Tony, how you doing?
Good, Vince. Thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure. Great to have you on. And I know you're up in New Jersey, and that area has been hit harder than anywhere in the U.S. Tell us what that has been like for you and how you're taking precaution up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough up here, obviously, for the last, whatever it's been, 3 weeks to a month. I mean, you know, it's almost, you feel like Groundhog Day right now. So, yeah. you don't really know what day of the week it is, or, you know, just trying to do the right thing. And, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that's lost people already. I lost a good friend, obviously, yesterday. He was a high school coach and teacher in our area. So, it's tough. You see people shutting down businesses and losing things, and but, you know, doing the right thing. I, you know, my wife's home, obviously, with me. And then we have a almost 1-year-old daughter. So just, you know, again, trying to stay healthy and do the right thing and just stay inside.
Well, hang in there with you and the family. So during this period of time, a lot of what we're hearing about college, NFL, they're going to the virtual coaching. How much of that are you doing right now with any of your clients?
Doing it, you know, but I wouldn't really call it virtual. You know, it's something that I've always done with guys, even at school, like as far as, you know, having guys do the drills that we normally do, just have somebody stand behind you and kind of video it, you know, at the end of a session, kind of send me those drills that we do. And obviously there's, you know, within each drill, you're focusing on certain details, you know, so just, you know, kind of going through things, making sure that they're doing the right things fundamentally. And you know, through those drills, you know, whether it's a front shoulder thing or a hip thing or a bounce thing or an elbow thing or a follow through, you know, kind of just going through those drills, you know, just really on a cell phone. I mean, it's not the same as being there, obviously, but it's the best we can do right now. So
how much of a challenge do you think this is for college quarterbacks and coaches in dealing with that and coaching during this period?
Oh, it's as tough as possible. You know, usually you're going through spring practice right now, and you know, either you're trying to win a job or you're trying to hold on to a job, you know, as a quarterback. So it's frustrating because you know, obviously you come off the season, right? You do all the winter conditioning, you lift, you're running, you're meeting with guys, you know, either in the morning or at night, throwing, getting guys together and you know, working on timing for spring, you know, and obviously not being able to do that. I think they're frustrated, but they get, you know, what's going on right now. You know, I think it's kind of trickled from not being able to practice to, you know, guys to come to guys like me, right? And because they can't practice there, they come to guys like me to work on their stuff because they can't do it there. And then all of a sudden, you know, things got shut down here or you know, wherever they're living. So now it's the point where it's, you know, what are you doing now to even work on or maintain what you got, you know? So that's kind of the battle I think you're going to see.
We're visiting with Tony Rasiopi, who's the quarterback coach of Jarrett Garantano and works for Test Academy up in New Jersey, works with high school, college, and NFL quarterbacks. Awesome insight here on 99.1 The Sports Animals. So, Tony, you got a chance to work with Jarrett Garantano before all this hit, right? What was that like this time?
Great as usual. I mean, he's a hard worker. He's, you know, he's a kid that I've known for a long time. So, you know, the nice thing about, you know, now is you have so much experience with each other is, you know, when he comes, it's, you know, you're focusing on maybe one or two things or maybe something that, you know, last season he felt like he didn't do well enough from a fundamental standpoint. And, you know, you kind of just kind of hone in, you know, obviously you do everything just to stay sharp fundamentally, but you know, when you have a history with a guy, you know, usually you kind of know him really well. It was good. You know, obviously got cut short because of what happened up here. I mean, you know, he planned on staying for a little while longer, but, you know, we trained for about a week, and then he went back down to his parents down in, I believe they live in Georgia. So, you know, he was staying up here with friends, and his girlfriend lives up here. So we did as much as we could, obviously, when the thing was we're okay. And obviously we had to shut the whole thing down because of what's going on.
What was that like to see him go through the kind of season that he did? Sure. As much of a roller coaster as it was and the way it closed out, kind of take us through what you're thinking during all that.
It was tough. You know, I think the way I work is as loyal as they are. And I'm there for all those guys, whether they threw for 5 touchdowns or they, you know, threw 2 picks and got benched. So a lot of times I talk to those guys more than I talk to the guys who threw the 5 touchdowns. So we talked a bunch, you know, I would say we talked 2 or 3 times a week, you know, whether it's through text messaging or, you know, a phone call on a late Wednesday night, or, you know, kind of just talking him through the process. And I mean, he's a mentally tough kid. You know, he's a tough kid. He's always been a tough kid mentally and physically. And you know, it didn't turn out the way he wanted, but he hung in there and you know, he played his best football at the end of the year, you know, and he easily could have just kind of shut it down and made excuses and blamed other people or, you know, kind of sat on the bench and let those other guys kind of come in there and start and not help him. But if you watch those games, I mean, you know, someone else threw a touchdown or made a big play, he was the first guy to go congratulate him. So you could tell that it was pretty neat to watch. I feel like the Tennessee quarterback room in general, just the way they acted with each other, well, not just Jarrett, but the other two guys, you know, they had each other's backs, which was pretty neat to see, you know. And you know, I know he's a big fan of Jim Chaney. He's a huge fan of Chris Winkie, his quarterback coach there. So, you know, he just, you know, he battled through it. It wasn't the way we thought it was going to be, and not the way, you know, I mean, the hard thing for a guy like me is I see them in a fundamental world and a kind of a perfect world, because that's the way quarterback drills are, right? So, right. You know, it's not, you know, it's not realistic for the most part, as much as you want to make it. You know, you don't know what's going to happen when you throw defense out there and it's 11-on-11, you know, under the lights. So, you know, I think that he finished strong. I mean, he had a pretty good year. You know, if you look on paper, it's not, again, you know, we were expecting a, you know, SEC player of the year kind of thing. And again, I'll jump on any table and tell anybody that he's one of the top players in America and one of the most talented kids in America. And, you know, I've seen almost every one of them throw live at some point, whether it's, you know, been camps or whatever, you know, he can do it. So I'm excited for him to come back this year and, you know, go win the job and have a great year.
You know, when we talked to him before the season, he was so excited about this offense with Jim Chaney and Chris Winkie. Did you kind of come out of that with a feeling, a pinpoint as to maybe why things didn't work out as well as he and you and everyone expected?
You know, it's hard to put your finger on it. You know, it's, you know, you see Jarrett, I mean, he's a pretty fundamentally sound kid. I mean, he could throw, he could run. You know, sometimes it's just kind of getting situated in an offense, getting comfortable in a scheme, seeing it against different coverages and you know, different personnel groupings. And, you know, it's the SEC. It's a hard place to learn on the run, you know. So, you know, I see him coming back and being more comfortable. And again, you know, you look at spring practice, right? It's another time where, you know, you could really working on timing, working on running those same plays over and over and over again. I mean, and I see a difference in guys that play for the same OCs for 4 or 5 years as opposed to 1 year guys. You know, you see it nowadays in college football just because of the movement, whether it's, you know, you do really well and a guy gets promoted and leaves, right? Or you don't do well and a guy gets fired. So there's constant movement. You're constantly having to learn new stuff, but he's had a lot, you know, in his time there.
We're visiting with Tony Resiopi. Jared Garantano is QB coach here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. There is a speculation that Garantano, even though the season ended really well, that with Harrison Bailey coming in, now you got 5 scholarship quarterbacks coming in. People are talking about, hey, maybe he'll look to transfer and go closer to home. Did you guys ever have those kind of conversations?
Never. I mean, that was all speculation. I mean, anytime I talked to him, it was about, you know, being the best player for Tennessee that he possibly could be, number one. And number two, you know, listen, more the merrier, right? Bring in 10 guys. You know, I'm a competitor, and I'm going to go win the job. And that's kind of his mentality, and that's who he is. You know, you could put best players in the country in one room with him, and he'll compete.
Well, and I'm sure you're right about that, but look, quarterbacks transfer so frequently. Sure. I mean, I think that's where those narratives build, is because there's competition with one guy, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else. So there is a track record of guys wanting to bounce to other opportunities.
Sure. I deal with it, you know, with what I do. I mean, obviously, right. You know, in the college world, and, you know, I'm lucky enough to train most of the Division I quarterbacks either in New Jersey or the Tri-State area that come to me. And, you know, again, you see that, right? You see a guy have a good sophomore year and then all of a sudden junior year maybe not play, or, you know, a new system comes in that really doesn't fit what they can play well in. You know, a coaching staff maybe moves, you know, they committed to a certain staff to play in a certain system, and a new guy comes in and runs something completely different. So then they're not happy, and it's tough. I mean, I get where that came from, but that's never come out of his mouth, and I don't think it ever would.
A lot of people have talked about, and even he has, I guess, all the different offensive coordinators that he has worked with. Now he has an opportunity to work with the same offensive coordinator for the first time 2 years in a row. I know it's not ideal circumstances because they're not in spring practice, they're not there, but how much can that benefit him, do you think, this year?
Oh, it's huge. It's, you know, it's learning a different language, right? I mean, you know, some people watch games and they just see the same plays over and over again. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can put a concept on the board. It might be called 15 different things. And, you know, some coaches want you to read it high, low. Some guys want low, high. Some guys want outside in. Some guys want inside out. You know, some guys teach, you know, an alert where if I get a certain look, I'm throwing this ball to, you know, my one-on-one guy. If not, then I'm reading a progression of 1 through 4. You know, there's so many different ways of teaching and really what an OC wants from his quarterback to do. And really, at the end of the day, he's a smart kid. He played in a really good system in high school at Bergen Catholic that, you know, they ran college pro style stuff. So he's not a kid that, you know, was the high school kid who dropped back and threw bombs to one kid. And that's his highlight tape. You know, it's, you know, he's able to process and throw different kind of balls. And, you know, he's a passer. You know, that was the biggest thing we kind of worked on when he was up here, was just kind of staying a little bit more balanced and understanding that you don't have to throw the ball as hard as possible on every single throw because, you know, again, he's got elite arm strength. But, you know, again, sometimes you watch games, sometimes quarterbacks throw the ball 25 times and 20 of them are not their hardest throws, right? They're up over people. They're taking a little bit off the ball. They're leading the guy a little bit more. It's understanding how to be a passer. And that just comes with time. You know, it's understanding within certain plays, this is kind of, I'm going to have to throw this ball pretty hard to get it in there. One, and two, if I go to my second guy, that's usually behind a linebacker. So I have to get the ball up and over. So it's kind of a secondary, you know, second level, you know, two ball kind of throw where I'm going to take a little bit off the ball, a little bit pace off the ball, but because I have to get the ball over somebody. So it's again, it's running the same stuff over and over again within the way Coach Chaney wants it.
Another thing that unfortunately a lot of these kids aren't able to do is be a part of the Manning Passing Academy. You've been one of the on-the-field coaches at the Manning Passing Academy. I know that's got to stink for you to not be a part of that, and obviously for all the QBs like Jared that have been a part of those as well.
Yeah, you know, well, right now it's still on. You know, we just got an email about a week ago, so hopefully, you know, obviously keeping fingers crossed right here, but, yeah, you know, it's in the works to still go. I mean, obviously they're going to look at it from week to week, so it's an amazing experience, and I know he's obviously been a part of it because of his relationship with Peyton.
Right.
You know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be there 3 years, which is, you know, not many three-year guys go to that camp, so – you know, the neat thing about Jared is he's matured so much over the years, you know, as a person and as a leader. It's nice to see.
Peyton Manning joining the Zoom quarterback room. Did you see that video? Yeah, Peyton jumping in and joining those guys. Yeah,
that's him to a T. It's obviously you guys know him from being in the area and him playing at Tennessee, but he is who he is. And it's, you know, he's witty, he's sarcastic, he's very engaging, you know, he's all those things. You know, a lot of times, you know, being around pro athletes as much as I am, sometimes, you know, the guy you see in commercials and on TV is not the person that they really are. And he is 100% that person at all times. I mean, just a class act. They all are.
And so that's part of the conversation that took place between our own Vince Ferrara as well as Tony Rasiopi. And so much to say, and I don't think there's any question that, Jimmy, you hear through Rasiopi that Garantano, as he shared with the media as well as fans, not pleased with the lack of consistency to what he was able to produce with Tennessee the last season, even though he was a big part of Tennessee putting together that win streak to finish the season.
Yeah, he had good moments. He just didn't have enough of them, and he didn't do it consistently. But what was interesting to me was he had that terrific game against Missouri. He threw for over 400 yards. Tennessee, for the first time in school history, had 3 100-yard receivers. And then against Vanderbilt, he didn't play well at all. Now, I know there might have been some circumstances that led to that. And then in the bowl game for, I don't know, 3.5 quarters, he didn't play worth the flip either. He got benched. But then he came in the last 7 or so minutes of the game and played really well. He's got to find a way to be consistent. Now, if Tony Rasiopi is correct that having the same offensive coordinator in back-to-back years is going to be greatly beneficial to Garantano. But a lot of that, Garantano just has to, he just has to get better. And some people say, well, you are what you are by this time. Maybe not. We'll see. But he's got to be more consistent. He's got to see the field better. He's got to be more accurate with his throws. And he's got to be able to hit that little flare pass. Sometimes he throws it 95 miles an hour. Can't do that. So there's just a lot of things he needs to improve on. But I'd start with number one, being consistent. And perhaps Jim Chaney can get that out of him.
I would agree. That's got to be job one moving forward. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The sports animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
About 5 minutes left in today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And again, we want to remind you that if you want to nominate a local first responder or healthcare worker for all that they're doing these days, you can go to our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, and courtesy of our friends at Roane State Community College, you'll be able to give them a shout-out. And we are going to be doing this through the end of May. We'll choose at least one person a week to recognize, but we'll recognize these individuals for their incredible efforts in these trying times on air, online, and through social media. So 991thesportsanimal.com. It's Heroes of Health, courtesy of our friends at Roane State Community College. Visit roanestate.edu, where we're all succeeding online together. And, Jimmy, we have seen, we talked about it some last week, it wasn't set in stone, but now we know that the British Open will not take place this year. And what a reset for the three majors that will take place.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're exactly right in regard to the British Open. They have decided to cancel it. They are going to play it next year at Royal St. George in 2021. That'll be the 149th British Open, and so that still leaves the 150th to be played at St. Andrews, which is what they had hoped for in the first place. So, with the changes in golf, the Masters, which was to be played this week, it has been postponed to November 12th through the 15th. Now, some people might wonder, well, why not during the summer months? The golf course is closed during the summer months. The heat is such that the grass and the grounds cannot take that kind of heat. They reopen it, I think, in October. And so they're looking at having the Masters November the 12th through the 15th. I don't know if they're going to have the women's amateur. They may. I didn't see that on the schedule, but I know that they've rescheduled the Masters November 12th to 15th. And the PGA has been moved to August 6th through the 9th. The U.S. Open is going to be September the 17th through the 20th. And the Ryder Cup, which is being played at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin, that will remain at the same date, that's September the 27th through the 29th. So that is the big change with the with pro golf and what they are doing. I think the FedEx Cup dates might be the same as well. But anyway, that's what they have done. Big news coming out of the golf in terms of a cancellation of the British Open and the rescheduling of the PGA, U.S. Open, and the Masters.
One, I hope everything goes through with the reschedule as planned, because that means good things have happened and are continuing to happen. But how surreal will it be to see Augusta National host a tournament in the middle of November, essentially a week, a little more than a week before Thanksgiving?
It'll be surreal. That's going to be very interesting to see that. And they have not. I think the only other time they didn't have it in April was back, like, the first one, which is like 1934. But since then, it has been in April, and it's going to be really strange to see that. So, John, just a couple of other notes. So, we talked a little bit earlier about how the All-Decade team of the NFL came out. Eric Berry is a safety. Cordell Patterson is one of the return specialists. So, congratulations to those two former Vols. I think you're exactly right about Jason Witten could have easily been one of the tight ends. They took Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski. And if you're going to do a deep snapper with special teams, you would think Morgan Cox would be the guy there, but they didn't go that route. A couple of folks had passed away. Al Kaline, great baseball player at 20 years old. He won a batting title. He was the last guy 20 years old to win a battle title was in 1907, a guy named Ty Cobb. But Al Kaline passes away at 85 years old. A Hall of Fame wide receiver, Bobby Mitchell, a great NFL receiver, 11 years with the Redskins and the Browns. He passed away at 84 years old. So a couple of folks that passed away. And by the way, a brighter note, and I'll tell you this, because we both adore her, Mary Costa celebrated birthday number 90 yesterday. fabulous woman, just a great person, and so glad that she is still with us. Had a chance to talk with her yesterday, and so I hope that she enjoyed her birthday number 90.
What a special, special lady, and a very happy birthday to her. That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk, and do want to remind you that coming up next, it'll be Producing the Facts, the podcast produced by the one, the only, Eric Kane, and then the last of our classic NCAA basketball tournament games comes at 8 o'clock tonight, Virginia and Texas Tech. This is Sports Talk.